This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Today, on a special edition of the Live Feed, we will air a reading of the play entitled Enemy Alien. The play is being written by Scott Dixon, who is a resident artist and administrator for the Commonweal Theater in Lanesboro, Minnesota. Enemy Alien is a story about German-American brothers who were placed in North Dakota internment camp during World War II. Stay tuned to hear the fictional story of how these two brothers dealt with their predicament and the struggles that ensued after being involved in a possible escape plan. And now here is a reading of Enemy Alien by Scott Dixon here on the Live Feed.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here tonight at the Commonweal Theater and our program this evening, a stage reading of an original script, Enemy Alien. I know just about everyone here, but I'll go ahead and introduce myself anyway. My name is Scott Dixon, and I am the author of the story that you are going to hear tonight. I want to, just before we begin, extend some very special thanks. I would like to thank the Commonweal Theater for opening up their space for us this evening and allowing this event to happen. Would also like to extend a special thanks to the Southeastern Minnesota Art Council. Their grant funding, supported by the McKnight Foundation and the Minnesota State Legislature, provided the funds for me to be able to go and do some research for this project, as well as the development of this script, bringing us to this sharing tonight. What you are going to hear is very much a work in progress, but your presence here tonight is a crucial part of the play's development. Well, you may notice the microphones that are set up here. We are recording this event. It will be rebroadcast on KQAL out of Winona next Wednesday night at 6:30 as part of their art series. So if after tonight you know people who you think might be interested in hearing that, that would be an opportunity for them to listen to the radio, or they can tune into kqal.org, and there's a player on their website where they can, wherever they are in the world, they can listen in. Thank you one more time for coming and spending your time here tonight. And now please do enjoy Enemy Alien.
Cast of characters. Luther Ellers, mid-20s. Susan Belcourt, 30s, a lawyer. John, late teens, Luther's brother. Carl, mid-20s, a former merchant seaman. Herman Meyer, 50s, a lawyer. Albert, 30s, a German nationalist. Setting, an interrogation room at the county jail in Bismarck, North Dakota. Then flashback to bunkhouse T-93 at Fort Van Buren, just outside the city. Time, April 1943. Then flashback to the previous fall. Act 1, setting. The main performance space is a bunkhouse interior with three or four bunk beds. A table with benches stand near a potbelly stove. Opposite the door leading outside is a second door which opens into a small storage room. There is one window to the outside. By the main door are pegs on the wall for hanging coats and hats. The beds themselves are sparse, a couple of wool blankets and a flat pillow on a thin mattress. A few of them are bare, but most exhibit personalized touches. Black and white photographs, taped to the bunks, stacks of books on shelves made of rough lumber. While Spartan, the whole room is nevertheless neat and clean. On a separate level, either above or below the bunkhouse, is a small, plain table and two wooden chairs. A voiceover reads off-top news stories from April 1943. Luther Ellers sits in one of the wooden chairs by the table in a tight pool of light. He is a young man, fit and well-built, but from a distance, his posture gives the impression of someone much older. He has a quiet confidence and strength, even as he seems to walk with some sort of invisible yoke across his shoulders. After a few moments of waiting, Susan Belcourt, a professional woman in her 30s, enters carrying a briefcase. As she approaches the opposite wooden chair, Luther stands.
Luther Ellers?
He nods and she crosses to shake his hand.
Susan Belcourt, please, sit.
She returns to her side of the table, opens her briefcase, and removes a notepad and pencil.
Have you eaten?
I beg your pardon, ma'am?
Something to eat. Breakfast, lunch?
Yes, ma'am.
3 squares every day?
Every day.
Good. I don't lose much sleep over guilty men being sent to bed without dessert, but technically speaking, you are not guilty of anything. Although you did confess, not sure what to do about that yet.
Ma'am?
I want to get some pro forma matters out of the way first. Your full name?
Luther William Albert Ellers.
What is your country of origin?
America.
You were not born in America.
I was born in Lubeck, but I've been in America for most of my life.
When did you arrive in this country?
1928.
Processed at Ellis Island?
Galveston.
Are you Jewish?
No, ma'am.
Do you understand the charges of arson and murder in the second degree as brought against you by the people of Burleigh County, State of North Dakota, United States of America? Do you have a question about something?
Just wondering, ma'am, if I should wait until my lawyer gets here before I say any more?
Mr. Ellers, I am your lawyer.
Oh.
Is that a problem for you?
No, ma'am. Does that mean I can't win?
Pretty much. Mr. Ellers, the truth is that I was assigned by the court to provide you with a defense. That's something guaranteed everyone in this country.
Yes, I know.
That means I'm supposed to stand up before a judge and jury and fight to prove your innocence, even if you're actually guilty. Are you guilty?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't catch that.
Yes, ma'am, I did it.
Not sure I believe you.
Ma'am?
Luther, may I call you Luther? Do you know the difference between truth and fact?
Same thing, ain't it?
Actually, they're not. I see here where you've been confessed to a shooting a man dead and setting fire to a U.S. military bunkhouse.
Yes, ma'am.
So it is a fact that you did those things.
Right.
But is that the truth? Luther, I've been in the same room as killers before. Men and women who have killed for money or for revenge, or sometimes just because they liked hurting people. I don't get any of that from you.
I don't know what to say.
You can start by telling me your story. Tell me your story, and I'll tell you whether I think it's true or not. All right?
All right. Where do I start?
Where do you think you should start? Since February 1942, you were interned in accordance with Title 50 of the United States Code regarding the Alien Enemies Act. True?
I suppose so, yes.
Were you in a jail cell?
No, ma'am. They kept us in bunkhouses. Kind of like a barracks.
How many of you were there?
A dozen or so. I reckon a couple hundred in the camp overall.
He stands and walks into the bunkhouse set as the lights come up. We see John, Luther's brother, in a soft freeze, standing behind a large table near a set of tools and a typewriter with its cover off.
My bunkhouse was T-93. There were 14 of them in the camp altogether, all pretty much the same, I guess.
He begins to walk about the space as he describes the layout.
16 by 36 feet, mostly for bunks. A couple wood stoves did pretty good for keeping the place warm. The latrine is inside, through the back door. Only one sink. There's some room for storage back there, too.
He comes around the table and sits in front of the typewriter.
We had a table for playing cards or listening to the radio. We weren't supposed to have that, but one of the guys, Carl, used to be a radio man on a freighter, and he made a little crystal set.
In a pool of light, Luther and John work around a lantern and a typewriter. They speak in low tones, conscious of the men sleeping nearby.
Almost done?
Almost.
A beat or two of silence as he continues working. John comes around to his opposite side.
I could have fixed it myself, but I couldn't get around the carriage rails there.
John, you're in my light.
Sorry.
Come back over here.
John returns to his original position.
See, these bars are out of alignment. That's why they keep sticking together.
So we just bend them back in place?
Real carefully, so they don't snap. Otherwise, we'll owe Meyer a new typewriter.
He can buy another.
From where? They don't keep these in stock at the PS. Besides, you don't have the cash.
I still have my last paycheck. Never been cashed.
You're funny.
Think we'll have jobs in Kansas City when we get out?
Sure. Maybe not at the hardware store, but there was a lot of work there. You want to go back?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. We could go anywhere.
Anywhere but here. It's so quiet.
What did you expect? This camp ain't exactly downtown on a Saturday night.
That's not what I mean. It's like everything's so still, waiting for something that's just about to happen, but then it doesn't, you know? So you keep holding your breath, and holding, and holding. Don't it feel that way to you?
Not really.
Snapping the typewriter cover back on.
Done.
It works?
We'll try it out in the morning. I don't want to wake up the guys.
John sits at one end of the bench while Luther packs up the tools.
You ready to hit the sack?
Ain't tired.
You will be. It's just about haying season. What?
Nothing. I'm really looking forward to throwing around hay bales all day and then pulling weeds in your garden all night.
You got something better to do.
I didn't figure on being here this long.
Me neither.
6 months, Luther.
I know.
The letter you got from the Justice Department, you sure didn't say anything about when they'd let us out?
I read it a dozen times. It only says they got our files from the review board.
What a joke. Carl told me those guys aren't really lawyers or anything. Just three dopes off the street.
Yeah, he's making that up.
How would we know? You think McGee or any of the guards would tell us? You know, if you and I had sandbagged a guy in an alley and took his wallet, they would have at least given us a little trial before locking us up.
Can you keep your voice down? If you're not going to bed, at least quit ranting. It'll wake everybody up.
Too late.
Meyer tosses off his blanket and sits up to pull on a pair of trousers over his long johns. He's a stout older man in his 50s, a lawyer outside of these fences. In his dress and deportment, he strives for neatness, but somehow always comes off as rumpled no matter what.
You boys got a smoke?
I'm out.
Oh. I thought maybe that's what you were doing up at this hour.
Couldn't sleep.
And you thought futzing with a typewriter would look, work as well as a glass of warm milk?
We were trying to fix your typewriter, actually.
That focaccia thing. Did you get it to work?
Well, seems that way.
Huh? We should celebrate. You sure you don't have any cigarettes?
Maybe Carl has some.
When I was a little boy, sometimes I would wake up in the middle of the night and find my father sitting in his study enjoying a cigarette. He used to say he was having a smoke with Moses.
Hey.
What?
Carl ain't here.
Was he at bed check?
Yeah. I remember he stepped outside with one of the guards. What's his name? Danvers.
And he never came back? You don't think.
What?
They locked him up.
For what?
I don't know. For anything. You know what a big mouth he's got.
Meyer, don't let your imagination run away with you. There's no Gestapo here.
You're right. You're right, of course. It's just surprises in the middle of the night. It brings out the Yenta in me.
From outside the bunkhouse comes the sound of a truck approaching. While still a distance away, it stops for a moment, engine idling, with its headlights shining through the window.
What the?
The truck shifts gears and begins driving it closer again. The headlights shine away as the truck turns and comes to idle again just outside the bunkhouse. We hear voices and doors opening and closing.
What's happening, Luther?
I can't see.
What time is it?
Just after 2.
3 thumps on the door, then Carl opens it and steps inside. He's a young merchant seaman, strong and sturdily built. Of all the men in the bunkhouse, he speaks with the heaviest accent.
Lights coming on?
He turns them on, then gestures off stage. Albert enters, a thin, swirly man in his 30s, carrying a duffel bag.
Du bist in Schlafraka, te nun drei. Darin einen in das.
Where have you been all night?
They had a group of us, one from each bunkhouse, waiting for a truck of new arrivals. We're supposed to help them get used to the place.
Albert begins to look around the room, subtly basking in the attention while the others stare.
Hello.
He extends his hand. Albert walks past him.
I said, hello.
Hey.
Albert appears to ignore him too.
Hey,
John.
We don't have many visitors here, especially in the middle of the night. Can you hear me?
Is he deaf?
Guten Abend.
Guten Abend. Das nur uns fünf vier.
Ja.
What'd he say?
Sprechen Sie Englisch?
Albert replies with a smile.
Did they say where he was from?
referring to one of the empty bunks.
Can he hear, Sloppy?
Yeah. Where'd he get picked up? Somebody ask him where he got picked up.
John, don't be rude.
Woher kommen Sie?
Albert shrugs. Meyer turns back to the others.
What do you think? Is he a criminal?
Of course he is. We're all criminals.
Oh, Carl. It's too late or too early for your nonsense.
Willkommen. Ich bin Luther. Das ist Herr Meyer und mein Bruder, John.
Ich bin Albert.
Woher kommen Sie?
What are they saying?
Hamburg.
Ich habe gemeint. Wo haben Sie sie abgeholt?
New York.
What about New York?
That's where he was arrested.
Guess they've stopped pretending this isn't a prison.
Oh, God.
Ist in Ordnung?
Es ist nichts. Die meisten von uns sind hier schon nach Molester gewesen. Und wir haben keine Ahnung, wann wir ein gehen können.
Albert nods, then continues to look around the bunkhouse for another moment or two.
Für Gefängnissen, das ist nicht so schlimm.
Sie haben im Gefängnis gewesen?
Zweimal.
What's he saying?
He is a criminal.
What?
He can't stay with us here.
You think you get to pick and choose who you're in jail with?
Luther?
You're in with the riffraff now.
Well, what kind of criminal could he be?
It's catching. Dirt. Sweat. Working for a living.
What do you want to do?
Talk to McGee. Get him moved to another bunkhouse.
In the middle of the night? What are we supposed to do in the meantime?
Would you feel safer if we got some handcuffs?
Carl, will you shut up?
Stop. Everybody stop for 1 minute. Nobody's putting anyone in handcuffs. Keine Handschuhe. It's the middle of the night. This man has been thrown in here off the truck, off the train, just like all of us.
Fine. I understand your point. But I have a question first. Warum waren Sie im Gefängnis dreimal? Warum waren Sie im Gefängnis?
What's he asking?
Warum wollen Sie das wissen?
Es ist meine Recht zu wissen.
Es ist eine berechtigte Frage.
What's going on?
Calm. Calm, my friend. I can see our little discussion is upsetting you. Es tut mir leid. Es tut mir leid.
You!
I was having a little fun. Surprise! See? Good times.
A little late in the evening for fun.
Ah, but I'm still on New York time. The city that never sleeps. How true.
You still haven't answered my question.
You want to know why I was in jail. It doesn't matter what I say. I can tell you I robbed a man. Would that make you feel better? Or maybe I punched someone on the street? Will you sleep better if I tell you I killed someone? How would you know if I was telling the truth? Maybe I should ask why all of you are in jail.
Oh, this isn't a jail. We talk about that all the time to make sure we remember.
Wunderbar.
He sits on his bunk and reaches into his duffel bag.
So, here we all are in our country cabin. And there's just a couple hours left before the fish start biting, so let's get to know each other. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. No?
Albert removes a tin from his duffel. It is stuffed full with cigarettes. He tosses it to Luther.
Pass it around.
Lights shift, bringing focus back to Susan. Luther crosses to rejoin her at the table.
That was the first time you met Albert Wiegland?
Yes.
Did you take an active dislike to him at that time?
I wouldn't say that.
What would you say?
I didn't think that much about him, one way or the other.
I want to go back for a moment and clarify some things. You emigrated with your father, Luther Eller Sr., correct? And your younger brother, Johann.
John. He goes by John.
Where is your mother?
She died in 26.
Father still living?
He passed away in 36.
What about Lübeck? Family there?
No, ma'am.
Not cousins?
Not there. My mother's sister. She lives near Magdeburg.
Are you still in contact with them?
Not since my father died.
Referring to the papers?
What is that?
It's your internment file.
What's it say about me?
You've never seen this?
No, ma'am.
When you went before the review board, didn't your lawyer talk to you about your file?
I didn't have a lawyer.
Your advocate, then? An advisor? You went in to talk to a review board without anyone else to stand up for you?
Just me.
Susan considers this for a moment, then returns to the papers.
How old were you when you emigrated?
8.
You lived in Lubeck for 8 years and you never had any friends?
Of course I had friends.
Schoolmates?
Yes.
Neighborhood friends?
Yes.
Older kids too, and you knew their parents?
Some, yes.
Are you in contact with any of them?
No.
From the moment you arrived in Galveston, you never sent a letter home to anyone in Lubeck, and no one mailed you here?
There were some from my father, none from me.
Luther, do you feel any sense of loyalty to the government of the Third Reich?
Absolutely not.
Have you ever been present when the Nazi salute was given?
No.
Were you at a pro-German rally at St. Joseph's Church in Kansas City in July of 1938?
I was there. Some speakers talked about the importance of America stepping in against what Hitler was doing in Austria.
Do you know a Mr. Leopold Stentz?
He was our neighbor when we first arrived in Galveston.
Are you aware that Mr. Stentz was also in attendance at that rally in Kansas City?
Mr. Leo? No.
Are you aware of the Nazi salute being given at that assembly?
It may have been. There were some awfully angry men there.
Have you ever offered or returned the Nazi salute at any time, before or after arriving in America?
No. My parents were socialists, for God's sake.
Do not raise your voice with me.
Sorry. I beg your pardon, ma'am.
What happened next at the bunkhouse?
Not much. A couple weeks went by. I was spending most of my time working on local farms. Haying, getting the harvest in. It didn't pay a lot, but it was something. And I noticed John started staying behind more and more.
Carl, Albert, and John are seated at the table playing cards. They each have a hand of 5 cards and are using cigarettes as money, the largest pile of which sits in front of Albert. Each man has a hand, and there is a 4th hand lying face down on the table.
How many?
2. 1.
Wie viel?
1. Very good.
He deals John 1 card, then refers to the 4th pile on the table.
How many for you, Fritz? 4.
He takes 4 cards from the pile and deals out 4 to replace them.
Fritz is either feeling very lucky or very unlucky.
Well, Fritz thinks like me. Every day is a lucky day.
Oh, yeah. Every day I look around and think about how lucky I am.
Right.
Examines cards, then adds 3 cigarettes to the pot, then raises by 1.
Yeah.
Johann, we're both lucky to be here, meine Freund. Where else could we have met?
Adds 4 cigarettes from his pile, then 4 from Fritz's.
Fritz calls.
Fold.
Try Sena.
Sehr gut.
He waves his hand over his cards and shakes his head.
How you doing, Fritz?
He turns over Fritz's cards 1 at a time. Fritz's hand turns out to be a full house.
How the hell did that happen?
Scheiße.
Oh, Fritz, you lucky bastard. Lucky, yeah? Sehr glücklich.
Sehr glücklich.
What can you do?
When you told us Fritz was going to play, you forgot to mention how glücklich he was.
Well, I'm as surprised as you are. You deal?
Carl takes the deck.
It's this place. I never stunk it so bad at poker before.
How long have you been here?
Since February. They found us at the movies. Would you believe that?
You and your brother?
I don't know how they knew we were there, where we were. Maybe one of our neighbors told them. The newsreels had just finished when the lights came up. A policeman stood up front and asked everyone to remain calm while 2 men walked down the aisles. When they got to our row, they asked me and Luther to step outside.
Did they say why?
No, never. Not even when me and Luther sat for the review board.
Review board, is that like a parole board?
I don't know. They don't seem to do anything. Every man here is supposed to go in for an interview, and then they recommend who can go home and who has to stay. Me and Luther had ours almost 2 months ago.
And no one has ever said why the FBI arrested you.
Luther says we're not under arrest. We're being detained. Either way, we're behind fences.
Johann. Guards?
Zwei.
The FBI got me and three of my shipmates at our boarding house. Gave us 5 minutes to pack a duffel.
When they picked us up, I thought at first maybe there'd been another attack like Pearl Harbor, and they needed Luther right away.
Who needed Luther?
The army.
The army? One. And Fritz is good as he is.
Luther had volunteered the week before, but we didn't know when he'd have to go report. Next we know, we're going north on a passenger train in a car with two soldiers and a dozen other guys. Nobody told us nothing about where we were going or what was going on.
Same thing happened to me. When I saw the signs for Bismarck, I thought, well, at least that's familiar.
The first day we were here, it stormed. I watched black clouds rolling in, filling the sky from horizon to horizon. When it broke, the wind and the rain lashed me from every direction. There's too much sky here. I look up and it makes me feel dizzy. I feel like I'm going to fall up. I hate it here.
That's to you.
Oh, I'm out.
Then I call. What do you have?
Pair of sixes. Zwei Sechsen.
Reaching across to flip Fritz's cards, revealing a flush.
And Fritz has nuff.
Oh, my.
How the hell?
Well, you dealt the cards.
That's it. I'm done. I can't take it anymore, losing to the invisible man.
Come on, one more hand.
Nine.
So, what is Fritz doing with his winnings?
Well, he keeps them in a special hiding place. But don't worry. I know where it is.
I'm going for a walk. I'm going to drown my sorrows in the open air.
He exits.
Well, I'm afraid I don't know any two-person card games. Except, perhaps, go fish?
No, thanks.
Is he really gone?
Carl opens the bunkhouse door, peeks out, then closes it again.
Yeah.
And do you have the item?
Carl crosses to his coat hanging by the door and removes from it a small bundle wrapped in cloth. He gives it to Albert, who unwraps it to reveal the blade of a shovel.
Will it do?
It won't be missed.
I've seen how they check the tools. They count handles in the bin. Besides, the tool shed's all confused, parts everywhere. They'd have to check the whole stock to know if something was missing or just misplaced.
You sure about this?
This place is a joke. When they had me at Fort Stanton, that was Army. These Duncombe here are border control.
Rewrapping the shovel blade and handing it back to Carl.
You hide this in the wood shop. Tomorrow we start digging.
During the day?
Don't worry about it. So here's what we're doing.
He takes some papers out of his pocket.
From the wood shop, I paced out 20 yards to the fence. Then I'm guessing another 20 yards to get under the road and into the field on the other side.
The ground is stony, hard digging, and will need to be done before the frost.
When does that happen around here?
I don't know, but it's cold already. The ground's getting hard in some places.
Looking at Albert's notes?
Whose notes are these?
What?
This isn't your handwriting.
Once we get to the Mississippi, we need to get aboard a barge to New Orleans. Can you do that?
I've lived on water more than land. I know how to get on and off anything that floats, and no one will know we were there. But what I want to know, how do we get to the river from here?
Do you know the local roads?
Nine.
That's a problem. You'll have to sign up for work details. Learn the roads, the towns, find out where the rail stations are.
We'll never finish unless we're both digging.
I don't want to have to tell anyone about this. It's asking for trouble.
No other way, is there?
Perhaps. You're a good man, Carl. There are many Germans in this place, but not many true Germans. You understand what I'm saying? I feel better knowing I can trust you. and only you.
Carl gives a quick Nazi salute, which Albert returns.
There's one other thing we should...
The bunkhouse door opens, and Luther and Meyer enter. Meyer's hands are wrapped in gauze.
All right, now, let's see.
Oh, I feel so stupid.
It's all right.
The workers have returned. Carl, prepare the feast.
As Luther unwraps his hands.
Sit there while I get a sewing needle and a lighter.
What for?
I'm gonna sterilize the needle and pop the blister.
What happened to him?
His hands are too soft for hard work.
This is my father's curse. He always said I was worthless.
I'm sure he didn't mean it.
Well, no. If he were here, he'd be volunteering to use that needle, sterilized or not.
I could do it.
You could, but it would involve getting your butt off that bench for 2 minutes.
The cause is good, Herr Ehlers.
Isn't there something you could be doing elsewhere?
Nope. I got a good enough view from here.
Actually, remember we were saying if we got to the mess hall early, we might get to hear Tuxedo Junction on the radio.
If you insist. And even if we miss the song, at least we'll be there before they run short of butter again. I hate it when that happens.
He and Carl exit.
Remember when he first got here and hardly said anything? I miss those days.
And are you ready?
Don't tell me about it, just do it. Talk to me. Tell me funny stories about how stupid I was today.
Field work is hard work. I used to get blisters a lot, too. Especially during haying season.
This definitely goes down as one of the dumbest ideas I've ever had.
You have to wear your gloves.
My hands got hot.
Well, it's one or the other, isn't it? There, now, that part's done. I'll dress this now and then get a fresh bandage from the infirmary. Four lights out. Needless to say, don't go around using those hands much for a couple of days.
I don't think anyone would be asking.
You hungry?
I'll pass. You go. You did all the work today. You must be starving.
He leans back on his pillow on top of a letter.
What's this? When did the mail come?
John must have picked them up for us.
They work on opening their letters, but Meyer's gauze give him trouble. After about a third try, he flails at the frustration and holds up his hands.
Could you?
Of course.
He opens Meyer's letter for him, then returns to his own.
Oh, God.
What is it?
From the Department of Justice. They're transferring our case to immigration.
Good for you.
No, listen to this. In regard to your wish to establish your citizenship, it will be necessary first for you to secure voluntary departure and then lawful admission to the United States before you will be in a position to apply.
Yes, that's too bad.
I don't get it. I have to leave so I can come back?
Yes. That makes sense.
But that means going back to Germany. To Germany. Meyer, did you hear a word I said? Meyer!
Luther, what do you want?
What do I do?
File an appeal.
I already filed an appeal, and this is what they sent back. You think I should file another appeal? Should I write the Justice Department again? Or immigration?
Luther, I don't know. Please stop jabbering at me, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be a pest.
You're not a pest. I'm suddenly very tired.
Do you want to write a letter? I'll type it out for you. Have you written your wife this week?
Twice. I've used up my privileges until Monday.
You can send one out under my name. How about writing your father, telling me about your day as a field hand?
Luther, my father is dead.
What?
Holding up his letter.
Almost 4 months ago. Damn post office censors.
I'm so sorry.
This is from my older brother, Kurt. He's in the middle, I'm the youngest.
What happened? Was he sick?
He went into the hospital shortly before I was brought here. I'm sure the end was a blessing.
What else did your brother say? Your family?
Has everything taken care of without me, I'm sure. It probably made things easier.
What does that mean?
Nothing. My family. I love them all, and I know they love me. It's just that I'm... what do you call it? Black sheep?
Why?
The Myers are merchants since God knows when. A Meyer sold sandals to Elijah, my father was selling sandals, selling something, goods, merchandise. That was something he could see, he could touch, he could understand. He hated lawyers. They made everything falcat.
He holds up his bandaged hands.
Worthless men, see? Not to be trusted, not to be talked to. And certainly not to be in one's own family.
Well, if it's all the same to you, right now I could use a good lawyer.
Meyer looks up and his face brightens a little.
Let me see that.
Luther hands him his letter.
This is a deportation order. But you and John are U.S. citizens, aren't you?
Apparently not.
You never went to court or got sworn in by a judge?
I was 8 when I came to this country. I didn't know you had to do anything to be a citizen except live here. Neither did my father, apparently.
So, John?
He isn't a citizen either.
Oh, my God.
Oh, don't say anything, please. I don't want John to know anything about this.
Well, if you say so. But shouldn't he know?
Not yet. Not until I have a chance to fix this.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'll figure something out.
I'll tell you the first step. File an appeal.
And how do I do that?
At the very least, it'll buy you some time.
How do I do that?
You don't. I do. I'll just find out. I just need to find out who to send it to.
I don't want to be any trouble.
It's no trouble. I can file an appeal in my sleep. One time, I think I actually did.
John enters.
Where have you been?
Out, walking.
He heads for his bunk.
You want to give me a hand in the garden while there's still some light?
Nah.
Getting John's coat and tossing it at him.
Let me put it another way. Get up and help me.
Tossing the coat back.
Not interested.
What has that got to do with anything?
Why do you care so much about that stupid garden?
Because I have weeds where my squash should be.
Albert says we should eat as much food as they give us. Make them have to keep buying more and more.
Luther turns away.
Hey, you got another letter today. What does it say?
Nothing.
What do you mean, nothing?
It just says our file's being moved up the line.
What does that mean? How long is the line?
I don't know.
Maybe we should write somebody else.
Like who?
Geez, I don't know. Someone who can get something done. President Roosevelt.
President Roosevelt.
Meyer, you must know what we should do.
Actually, he and I have been talking about that.
I might. I mean, I can't say for certain.
We're working on it, John. Be patient for once. We're doing everything that can be done right now.
Luther crosses to the coat pegs and grabs his jacket. He puts it on, and as he's heading for the door...
Why didn't Papa teach me German?
He did.
When?
When we lived in Germany.
I don't remember. Why don't I speak it now?
In America, Papa wanted us to speak only English.
But you know German.
I had to translate for Papa.
Do you remember living in Germany?
A little.
We probably should have gone back there after Papa died. What's so funny?
Mama and Papa wanted the hell out of Germany. They'd roll in their graves if we ever went back.
At least we'd be with family. Mama's sister, Aunt Katrina. Papa used to write her once a month, didn't he?
At least.
And she had boys, too, didn't she? 3 or 4? Do you remember them?
Yes.
Horses. I remember a lot of talk about horses.
They had a farm outside of Magdeburg.
We could have gone to live with them. There's always lots of work, lots of room on a farm.
A farm is no guarantee you won't starve to death. Not after the Wehrmacht come through and take everything, including our cousins. Including you and me, if we've been there. Just where do you think you'd be right now if you lived in Germany? Not in a cozy farmhouse, I can tell you that much. We'd be baking our brains in some tent in North Africa.
You don't know.
You want to know what I remember about Germany? Sleeping under the kitchen table so I could be close to the stove in the wintertime. A cabbage soup so thin that it was like eating water. Mama and Nicholas lying side by side in bed, both of them coughing up blood because no doctor would take a basket of carrots and potatoes in exchange for medicine. You remember our brother, don't you? Well, life in America hasn't been easy, but Germany's no land of milk and honey. You don't... You just don't know.
No, I don't know.
With a nod toward the bunks used by Albert and Carl.
You shouldn't be listening to them. And they don't know either.
What's wrong with them?
Now, I notice you haven't been out on any of the trucks for a few days.
Too busy.
Too busy playing poker?
No.
What then?
Nothing. What difference does it make to you?
It makes a difference because paper for writing letters costs money. Postage costs money. Those cigarettes you play with cost money.
I buy those myself.
And you lose them all by yourself, so I guess it all works out. It's a good thing, too, because if I catch you smoking, I'll tan your hide.
What?
You're just a kid.
You spend your time your way, and I'll spend it mine.
Yeah, my way of spending time is about taking care of us. Your way is about wasting time and money.
Taking care of us? How? By growing squash and carrots?
Luther starts to leave.
Hey, I asked you a question.
So what?
So answer me, damn it.
You wash your mouth.
Luther!
What? What do you want?
What do you think? I want to go home. I want to get out of here and go somewhere I never have to look at a fence again. I want us to write a few more letters and plant a little less damn squash.
Okay, that's enough.
At last, we agree on something. Now tell me what it is about this place that you like so much that makes you want to stay.
I don't want to stay here.
You don't?
What kind of stupid thing is that to say?
Then why did you plant that garden? Why did you build those shelves? It's like you're moving in.
You don't understand.
Explain it to me.
You know what needs to get explained to you? That you're not the center of the universe. That just because you want something a certain way, it don't make it so.
You said we wouldn't be here long. You said they'd figure out the mistake and let us go home.
And they will, John.
When?
Hell if I know. It's out of my hands.
What else is new?
He exits.
What's the matter with him? He had no right to talk to you that way.
Yes, he does. I was almost in the Hitlerjugend. Did you know that?
I suppose it's almost impossible to avoid.
Yeah, not for me. Not yet. I was still too young. I really didn't know anything about it except that all the older boys I knew were into it. I followed them one night, marching and singing. It was a beautiful June evening, and the stars were just starting to come out. We walked all the way to the other side of town and stopped at a little house. All the windows were dark. I didn't think anyone lived there. The older boys picked up stones in the street and threw them at the windows. It was fun being bad, and I kept looking around, waiting for someone to come along and chase us away. No one did. And a stone was in my hand. I don't know if I picked it up or if someone put it there. I stepped up and threw it at the house. I wasn't even aiming at anything, but I hit a window on the second floor and the whole thing shattered. Just shattered. Everyone started cheering, and I was too. I picked up another stone. And I saw them running out the back door, trying to get across the yard to the side street. The woman was screaming something. She had a little one in her arms and two more kids with her, crying as they ran. The papa was trailing behind them, trying to hurry him along. The boys I was with, still cheering and laughing, they started throwing at the family. And stones fell on them like rain, and all the boys were so happy. And my stomach felt like I'd swallowed a bucket of worms. I didn't want anyone to know, so I laughed along with everyone else. No more. I laughed longest and loudest. I laughed until I couldn't breathe.
What happened to the family?
I don't know. We chased them for a while, and then it was all over. I don't even know who they were, Jews or communists or whatever. And when I got home, I took off my shoes. There was a red stain on the sole where I must have stepped in some blood. And for years I had nightmares about footprints on the street running up to my house. Bright red, burning like coals. Even today the sound of breaking glass sends a chill up my spine. And we can't go back to that. Never. Never. Never.
You won't.
The government says otherwise.
We'll fight it.
Luther walks back to his bunk and sits. He stares out for a long while before speaking.
What am I gonna do?
End of Act One. Now we will take a brief 10-minute break between acts. Thank you. Luther sits alone at the small table outside the bunkhouse set. After a moment or two of waiting, Susan enters carrying two mugs of coffee.
Sorry it took so long.
She hands one of the mugs to Luther.
They were in the middle of brewing a fresh pot.
Thank you.
You did say you wanted it black.
Yes, ma'am.
My father boiled his coffee. One fresh pot at the beginning of the week, then reheated on the stove. By Thursday, the spoon would be standing up in the cup. While I was waiting, I put in a call to a friend of my husband's. He works for immigration out of St. Paul.
What did he say?
It's not as if he knows every file off the top of his head. He said he'd look into it. But if there's been a deportation order issued for your brother, it probably still stands.
Is there anything you can do?
That's not really what I'm here for.
Please, ma'am.
I understand you're worried about your brother, but we need to be worried about you right now.
It doesn't matter what happens to me.
You keep saying that, but it sounds like you're trying to convince yourself as much as me. From what you've told me so far, it seems like tensions were higher between you and your brother than between you and Albert.
I was trying very hard to work our way out of the camp. And the more gold-breaking he did, the harder it was for me.
Lights come up on the bunkhouse set. Meyer is on his bunk, reading. Carl sits at the long table with Meyer's typewriter. He works slowly, trying to be diligent, but as careful as he tries to be, there is still the occasional sotto voce cursing. John also sits at the table. He has a cigar box full of folded papers and works with a pencil, copying the contents of one piece of paper to another. Luther enters the bunkhouse, walking wearily to his bunk. He starts to take off his dirty shoes, but stops, and then just flops back on his pillow.
Where'd you go after supper?
Garden.
Oh.
Carl types out a few words, then looks over at Luther, who seems to have his eyes closed.
Yes! Johann.
What?
Look at my letter. Tell me if the English is good.
You misspelled Roosevelt.
Scheiße.
If you came to my classes, your spelling would be better.
And speak good Americana? You look half dead.
I just need to rest my eyes.
Cancel your English class tonight.
I'll be all right.
You might as well. I don't think many will be coming.
Why not?
Well, guys usually shut up if they think I can hear them. But Albert has been talking.
About what?
Meyer looks over to where Carl and John are sitting, then motions for Luther to join him some further distance away.
I don't want to say too much because of, you know, but I hear that Albert has been saying that real Germans don't study English.
Real Germans? What the hell is he talking about?
He's a true believer, Luther. Aryan purity and all that cock.
No one around here is going to listen to that.
Not everybody, but maybe enough. He's drawing a line in the dirt, putting you on one side and him on the other.
Let him. Then he can be on his side all by himself.
Keep it down over there. I'm trying to work. Anytime you want to be done using my typewriter, you just go ahead and walk away.
When did they let the old hens in here?
I need a walk. I'll see you later.
Meyer exits. Carl rips the paper out of the typewriter with a frustrated exclamation.
Johann, you ready for a fight?
Sure.
I get the radio. We have good time, yeah?
He exits into the storeroom.
What's with Johann?
Huh?
Carl just called you Johann.
So?
Your name is John.
Not really. Mama and Papa named me Johann.
That was before America.
Yeah, but we came from Germany.
And we've lived most of our lives in America.
What's the big deal? You didn't change your name.
What?
Why don't you make people call you Luke or Larry?
It's not the same. You're getting things all mixed up. In America...
We're not Americans.
Who told you that?
Ain't that why we're here? Because they think we're not real Americans?
They're wrong. Our papa wanted us to be American. That's why we called you John. And Johann sounds...
Too German?
Yeah.
I don't see what's wrong with that.
There's a war going on.
I know that.
Will you quit cutting me off? We have to be very careful about what we say and do. People are watching.
What people?
Just do what I tell you to.
What ain't you telling me?
Nothing. Never mind.
John turns his attention to his papers, then looks at his brother, then back to the paper, then back to Luther.
Luther?
Mm.
What does Tuxedo Kreuzung mean?
Tuxedo Junction.
Tuxedo Junction. Like the song?
I guess so. What are you doing?
Nothing.
Let me see it.
Why?
Because I want to know what you're doing.
You don't want to know.
What?
German lessons, all right?
German lessons.
Albert is teaching me German, okay? You teach English, I'm learning German.
Why do you want to learn German?
Maybe because it's funny to be locked up with a bunch of dangerous Germans, and I'm the only one guy who doesn't speak German.
Can I see what you're working on?
What for?
I just want to see.
And I just want to know why.
Because I don't like him, John, and I don't think you should be spending so much time hanging around with him.
What is your problem? You've been on my back about every little thing I do lately.
But I ain't on your back.
Yes, you are, and I'm telling you now, I'm getting sick of it.
All right, you win. Don't blow a gasket.
He looks at his watch.
Oh, jeez, I gotta go.
Luther hauls himself up from his bunk and heads for the door. Just then, Albert enters.
Out for some air?
I got class.
Have fun.
Luther stares at Albert for a moment, who cheerily smiles back. Then Luther exits.
You should stay. Have a pint. Listen to the radio.
Carl enters with a crystal radio set.
I'll have it working in a minute.
I thought you were going to play football with us before supper.
Luther made me volunteer in the kitchen because I ain't going out and working off the trucks no more.
I have an older brother, too. We used to have to split wood every night in winter, but he'd sneak pieces of my firewood on his pile. Papa would make me stay outside until my pile was as big as my brother's. Meanwhile, he's already in the house, in the chair, close to the fireplace. How's it going over there?
In a minute. Mm.
You like to fight, Johann?
Sure.
You ever go? With your brother?
Nope, just listened on the radio.
Poor boy. Deprived. The world's full of fighting, Johann. Did you know that?
What do you mean?
Men fight in the ring. Nations fight on the map. You know how you can tell in a fight who was weaker and who was stronger?
No.
The man who starts the fight is weaker. You surprised? A weaker man starts the fight because he's afraid of the stronger man.
But then why would a weak guy pick a fight with a strong guy? Wouldn't he get on somebody weaker?
This is why he is weaker. Because he wants to lose. He can't help it, he can't change. In his heart, he says, if I fight a stronger man and lose, everyone will know that I am weak. Then he wants help because he is weak. Then he thinks people owe him help because he is weak. You think about that, it makes sense.
John nods. Then he crosses to his bunk and lies down. He looks for a book or a newspaper to read. Can't find anything that interests him. He stares at the ceiling for a moment or two before.
What time is it?
Wie bitte?
Not now.
Es tut mir leid. Ich verstehe nicht. Ich verstehe nicht.
Wie spät ist es?
4 Uhr.
Now can we speak in English?
I thought you wanted me to teach you German.
I do, but not right now.
All right. But dare I ask if you finished copying my letter?
Yeah, I did.
He hands over the papers he was working on.
You copied every word?
Every word. I didn't know what most of them were, but I copied them.
Albert crosses to Meyer's bunk and starts rifling through Meyer's things. He tosses papers and books around, even messes up the blanket on the bunk.
First, I teach you words, one at a time. This will get you ready for grammar. Thinking and speaking and writing in German isn't the same as English. You have to learn everything over again.
What are you doing?
You need an envelope for my papers. I saw some here before.
Maybe you should wait until he gets back.
Albert smiles and continues ransacking Meyer's bunk until he finds an envelope. He folds the copied letters into the envelope.
You learn quickly. Some of it must be familiar.
Some. Papa didn't want any German spoken at home, but if he didn't know the right word, he'd whisper it to Luther, and Luther would whisper back in English. Either that or he'd just point at what he wanted and grunt.
Your brother helped your papa a lot.
Papa's little helper. He's always helping. When Luther went to enlist, I wanted to go too. I could have lied about my age. Nobody would have cared. Don't I look 18 to you?
Absolutely.
He talked me out of it. Said I should wait a year. Sometimes I think he told me that so he could go over first and have the war taken care of by the time I got over there.
Oh, yes.
Crazy, right? But I'd almost bet you that's what he was thinking. I'd almost bet.
Off stage, the sounds of dogs barking, then a truck driving closer until it stops nearby and waits, idling. Doors open and close, and men's murmuring voices are heard. After a moment, the truck drives away again, and the dogs eventually stop barking. As this is happening, Albert crosses near the stove. He silently crumples the original papers in his hand.
Christ, I never knew how many times people drove in and out of this place until they got those guard dogs.
Dogs don't bother me. I love dogs. And dogs love me because I am a master. Dogs want to have a master. Without a master, dogs all over the place. Digging where they want, where they want. Dogs want a master. Dogs are happy with a master. Your master tells them, eat here, sleep here, here. Dogs are happy, master is happy, everyone is happy.
The radio set Carl has been working on suddenly crackles to life.
Aha! See? Your brother's not the only one who could fix things around here.
John crosses to sit at the table as Carl tunes into the broadcast of the Jake LaMotta Sugar Ray Robinson fight in New York, October 2nd, 1942. As John's attention becomes fixed on the radio, Albert grabs a piece of wood from the pile and tosses it with the papers in his hand into the stove.
Oh! Come on, Bull, come on!
Meyer enters, self-absorbed. With his bandaged hands, he takes his time hanging up his coat and hat.
Put him down! Put him down!
He's doing it wrong!
I've seen him. Diamond Belt Championship. You can't knock this guy out.
Max Schlemming could.
Max is a booby. But I'm talking about middleweights here.
I know.
Meyer approaches his bunk, finally noticing its condition.
What the hell? What happened to my bunk?
Why ask us?
Because you're the one sitting here since I left.
We didn't see anything.
Yeah, we didn't see anything. Maybe it was mice.
Or rats.
Big rats.
The only rats in here are you two.
That a fact?
Are you totally incapable of acting like human beings?
Come on, Bull, come on.
Max couldn't even...
Don't hit him in the head.
What?
That man, LaMotta. He has a head like concrete.
Ah, that's what I said. You can't knock him out.
Sure you can. Here, I'll show you how. Stand up. Come on, stand up. Put up your dukes. You see this?
Albert makes a half-hearted jab to the head, which Carl avoids easily.
See this?
Same action.
Now, here.
Albert delivers a sharp blow to his ribs, which drops Carl, gasping for air, to his knees.
God damn it!
I don't care how thick your head is. You can't fight if you can't breathe.
That really hurts.
Get up and stop embarrassing yourself. You know how to be the strong man? Have no worries about what anyone else can do to you. No fear. You know how? Put your hands up like this. This is your defense.
Wait a minute, ain't we supposed to have gloves?
Don't worry, minor weedling. Promise I won't hurt you. And I guarantee that you won't lay a finger on me. Now, jab like this.
He demonstrates and John imitates.
Good. Now, jab at me and I block like this.
John jabs and Albert blocks.
Again.
Albert and John start to move around the bunkhouse, with Albert continuing to coach. Keep your hands up, move your feet, etc. They start to get close to the bunks.
Watch out!
Now hit me. No more playing. Hit me.
John throws more aggressive punches, which Albert blocks, then counter punches. They swing around close to Meyer.
Alter cockers.
John and Albert move away.
Guy cockeniffen yam.
What did you say?
Huh?
What did you say to me?
Nothing. I don't have anything to say to either of you.
Keep it that way. Because if I hear any more Jew jabber...
You'll what? You'll what? You can't talk to me like that. Where do you think you are, you son of a... This isn't the Reich. This is America. And they've got you locked up in a cage like the beast you are.
As we all are, Herr Meyer.
Albert easily blocks a series of jabs, then counter punches hard enough to knock John off balance. He falls on top of Meyer.
What the hell?
Meyer and John are in a tangle. As both men are trying to get to their feet, Meyer shoves John.
Get off of me.
You get off.
John shoves Meyer back, who reaches out to retain his balance, but John slaps his hand away. Carl and Albert laugh.
What's wrong with you?
Get him!
Pull your dukes up, Herr Vikerhanda.
John advances on Meyer, teasing him with jabs that narrowly avoid making contact.
Stop it. Ha! I said stop.
John has Meyer backed into a corner while Carl and Albert cheer. Meyer is now trying to slap away John's punches at an increasing rate until John throws a right cross that gets through. Meyer goes down.
John!
Oh my God, are you all right?
He tries to help Meyer up, but Meyer slaps his hand away.
I'm sorry.
Get the hell out of there. Go away. Go away.
Luther gets past John and helps Meyer to his feet.
I'm sorry.
Get out.
But
you want to be sorry or you want to help? See if you can get some ice and a towel from the kitchen. Go.
I'm okay.
What happened?
The hell I know. You started all this. You're worse than an animal. Ever since you got here, you've been nothing but poison. You're cancer.
You should know. Like father, like son.
Meyer is stunned for a moment. Then, as if an inner switch of true rage has been flipped.
You read my letters? What the hell is wrong with you?
Come on.
No. Let him go. Come on, big man. Let's go.
Pigs. You're nothing but pigs rooting around in the mud. I hope I get deported. I hope they'll let me go with Luther when they've sent him back. I'd rather live in hell than spend one more day trapped in here with you.
Meyer.
What?
Luther's being deported.
Shut up. I didn't say anything.
Good idea. Turn around and go back to your mess.
My God, some people just can't take care of themselves.
Turn that off, please.
To Carl, miming John's punch.
Hast du das gesehen?
That's it. I don't want to catch you hanging around John anymore.
It's a small camp and a smaller bunkhouse. I don't know how you can expect me to do that.
You know what I mean. No more poker games, no more German lessons, nothing.
Lount der Frame.
Closing the distance to speak sotto voce.
I know what you're up to.
There you now. We all have secrets, Luther. Are you sure that yours aren't worse than mine?
The hell are you talking about?
I can see it on your face from a mile away. You look like a fripsack. You ate all of Mama's cookies and didn't share with anyone? Don't play poker with me. I'll clean you out.
Luther notices that Carl has moved to stand threateningly just off the Albert's shoulder.
Hey, what are you doing?
Luther waves Meyer back, and Albert snaps his finger at him.
Sit. Stay.
Is this the Nazi idea of fair odds? 2-1?
Nein. This is American democracy. You're being outvoted.
Keep your nose out of my business. Leave my brother alone, or it won't matter that there's two of you.
Albert and Luther stand nose to nose for a moment before Albert smiles, then turns on his heel and exits with Carl following close behind. As soon as they're gone, Luther crosses to John's cigar box and starts sifting through it.
If your brother comes back and sees what you're doing, he's going to clobber you. And I can't say as I blame him.
Luther finds Albert's letters and reads it. A look of ever-increasing unease fills his face.
What's wrong?
I'm not sure.
He carefully replaces the letter where he found it and walks away.
Is Albert teaching John naughty words in German?
No. It's like a page from his diary.
Albert is making John copy his diary? That's funny.
Yeah, funny. Does Tuxedo Junction mean anything to you?
The song?
Yeah.
Well, it's a song.
Meyer, how would you try to get out of this place?
By doing exactly what we're doing. Filing appeals, putting blind faith in a review. That's not what you mean, is it? I'm a traditionalist, so I suppose I'd dig my way out under the fence.
Where would you start?
I don't know. I don't think I'd try anywhere near the main road.
The east side is all administrative buildings, and they face the parade grounds. The west is pretty open, but it's probably too open.
Luther, where are you going with this?
The south fence line faces an open field, but the brush is pretty high.
There's a road.
But it's hardly used. Maybe once a week.
Luther, what is going on?
Nothing.
You're always saying I shouldn't be letting my imagination run away with me.
That's right. It's just my imagination.
Then why do you look so pale?
Listen to this. Durch Tuxedo Kreuzen, vor es Horizon weit geworden, über den Rücken dem alten Mann. Through Tuxedo Junction, before the horizons turn white, down the back of the old man.
Very poetic.
Now I hear Carl and Albert mentioning Tuxedo Junction sometimes. What if Tuxedo Junction is a tunnel?
What if? Then down the back of the old man is...
Old Man River? The Mississippi?
One of us has been listening to too much Captain Midnight. So what if you're right? Let Albert dig his tunnel all the way to Mexico if he wants to. Good riddance to him and his secret code.
If he wanted to dig himself out, I'd offer to help just to get rid of him.
But
why give this to John? Why make him copy it down in his own handwriting?
My God.
After Albert escapes, they'll tear the camp apart looking for answers.
Tear it up, Luther. Burn it.
I can't.
Why not?
This is just one page. All right, Albert has been giving John German lessons for a couple of weeks. Who knows what else John's written for that rat? He doesn't even know what he's writing.
Are you sure?
All right, my brother is not a Nazi.
Young men, angry young men. Sometimes even they don't know what they are.
I don't know what to do.
Lights up on Susan.
You were absolutely certain that Albert Wiegland was plotting an escape from Fort Van Buren?
Yes, ma'am.
And that during such an attempt, your brother John would be implicated as an accomplice. even though he was actually unaware of any such plan?
Yes.
Even though you had no such actual proof?
I knew what was going on.
Yet you made no effort to inform Camp Superintendent Roy McGee or anyone in his office?
No, I didn't say anything.
You didn't tell any of the guards or staff? Did you mention the pending escape to anyone besides your fellow internee, Herman Meyer?
No, ma'am.
Was Albert Vigeland's escape plot the reason for the events of the night of October 13th, 1942?
Yeah.
You shot him, and then set fire to the bunkhouse to keep him from escaping?
Uh-huh.
And it never occurred to you to simply report to the camp authorities what Albert was doing?
I couldn't. The notes, they were in John's handwriting.
But you could have explained it to them.
I couldn't. I didn't know if I could trust them to understand.
Why not? What happened next between you and your brother, after the fight in the bunkhouse?
We pretty much kept our distance from each other, as much as we could. I volunteered for Workdale. He stayed in the camp doing God knows what.
Until?
What's wrong?
Something in my bed.
He pulls back the covers. The mattress is covered with squashed vegetables.
That bastard.
Who?
Albert, who do you think?
Pointing to an envelope on the pillow.
There's a note.
Director, Alien Enemy Control Unit, Department of Justice.
What is it?
My review board summary.
What does it say?
John emerges from the storage room door, holding a shovel.
Tell us, Luther. What does it say?
John, what did you...
Read it! I want to hear it out loud in your voice.
Whereas, after due hearing, it is found that no precedent exists to suggest an adherence to the Nazi government and its principles on the part of Luther William Albert Ellis.
Skip to the next paragraph.
Statements to draft board dated January 15th, 1942... Questionable misinformation regarding citizenship. Lingering doubt of possible threat to war effort. Said alien is recommended for deportation at first opportunity.
It's dated almost 2 months ago. When were you going to tell me? I suppose I ought to be glad.
John, I'm working on this.
Why? We ain't supposed to be here. That's what the letter says, so let's go home.
I'm trying. I want to get back to Kansas City as much as you do.
You're not listening to me. I don't want to go back to Kansas City.
Pointing to his bunk.
Did you do this?
8 months we've been trapped here, and what have you told me that whole time? I'll take care of things, John. Be patient, John.
Listen to me.
And this time you've been hiding stuff from me, lying to me.
I never lied to you.
You said the FBI made a mistake. It's no mistake we're locked up. It's something you did.
What?
You tell me. The letter says statements to the draft board. What did you say to them, Luther?
What do you think I did? My goose stepped into the draft office shouting Heil Hitler. I went in there to volunteer to fight. I said, send me to the Pacific. Send me to the worst little island out there.
The Pacific?
Yeah, I told them to send me to the Pacific.
Why the Pacific?
Because.
Why?
I didn't want to go shoot Germans. Because unlike you, I was thinking things through ahead of time and realizing that if I was shipped to Europe, I could be shooting at someone who lived in the same town we once did or went to school with or one of our own cousins, and I didn't want to do that.
That's why they came for us. Because of what you said. I don't get you. You say we should stay in America, but you don't want to fight Germans. America says we belong back in Germany, but you want us to stay here.
Yes.
And meanwhile, you never ask me a damn thing.
Ask you what?
If maybe I want to go back to Germany.
Don't be stupid.
You know what's stupid? Staying somewhere you ain't wanted. Yeah. Now who's stupid?
Good God, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Says you.
Yeah, it says me, because I'm the one who gets to say.
The hell you do? You ain't Papa.
Hey, show some respect.
What for?
What for? Hey, ever since Mama died, ever since Papa died, who's been taking care of you? If you had food on your plate, it's because I put it there. If you got a shirt on your back, it's because I got it for you. I do everything for you, goddammit.
You screw everything up for me, you
so
mean?
You decide to go and rip up my garden? Are you 4 years old or something?
I ripped up that garden because there shouldn't be a garden.
or these shelves. Why don't you go hang some curtains while you're at it?
I've told you.
This is a prison, Luther. I don't care what they call it. It's a goddamn prison. For Christ's sake, open your eyes.
You watch your mouth or I'll...
You'll what?
Luther suddenly realizes he's raised his fist. He lowers it and unclenches his hand.
Weaker man starts the fight.
You think I'm weak?
I think you're weak and pathetic. You're like a jackrabbit in the road, too scared and too stupid to know which way to go. I ain't waiting out there with you to get run over no more.
And where do you think you're gonna go? With Carl and Albert and the rest of those goose-stepping morons? You think they're gonna take care of you?
I don't need taken care of. I ain't a kid no more.
The hell you're not. You're a train wreck waiting to happen, and I'm sick and tired of trying to keep you on the rails. You go on. You get out of my sight. You go find somebody else to wipe your ass, you baby.
Go to hell!
He exits. Lights up on Susan.
That's why the government suspected you? Because you didn't want to shoot Germans?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know what to say. And you never told John.
There was nothing he could do. It was my mistake. My fault that we were in the camp and about to be shipped back to the Nazis. I was going to fix things, and he would never need to know.
Where did you get the gun that you used?
Albert. Albert had it.
Lights up on the bunkhouse. Carl stands by the door as Albert sits at the table with a package. He works on opening it carefully.
No one come?
Nine.
Albert opens the package.
What's that?
A humidor.
Why did you buy that?
Well, as far as anyone would know, I need it for all of Fritz's poker winnings. A friend of mine bought it. Sent it to me.
You wasted your money. I've seen a dozen of those get made every week in the wood shop.
Is there still no one coming?
Still clear?
I do not doubt the craftsmanship of our comrades, but even they would not be capable of adding one very special feature.
Albert turns the humidor on its side and opens a false bottom. Concealed within is a small revolver and a box of bullets. Albert removes them all and proceeds to check and load the revolver.
Gott in Himmel!
Are they making any of these in the woodshop?
What are you doing with that?
Self-defense.
What are you going to do? Shoot your way out?
With this little thing?
Of course not.
But once I am on the outside, it may happen that one man could stand in my way. A man I can't outwit, outrun, or overpower. In that case, this will be the ace up my sleeve.
A noise from the door to the storage room suddenly grabs their attention. John is standing in the doorway.
What the hell are you doing there?
How long have you been eavesdropping, Johan?
I wasn't eavesdropping. What were you doing back there? Nothing.
Nothing?
I wanted to be left alone for a while, and that's the one place in camp no one ever goes.
I saw Luther not 15 minutes ago, going back and forth between here and the mess hall and the canteen. Thought he looked like a man looking for something.
I said I wanted to be left alone.
All eyes turn to the revolver in Albert's hand. He starts to pack it up again in the secret compartment in the humidor.
No matter how hard we try to put it off, there comes a time when every man must decide whose side he's on. That moment for you, Johan, is now.
I'm on my own side.
Exactly as you should be. Exactly what I would want for you, if we broke.
When you go, can I come with you?
No. Does that change how you feel about keeping our little secret?
No.
That's very German of you.
The bunkhouse door opens, and Luther enters carrying a letter. He stops short upon seeing John.
I feel like a stroll and a smoke.
He and Carl walk past Luther, and as they do...
Hey, what's for supper?
Luther and John look at each other for a moment, then both turn away. Luther crosses to his bunk, putting the envelope on Meyer's pillow. After a moment, Meyer enters and crosses to his bunk.
Where did this come from?
It's
been sitting in the PX for a week. I figured you'd never see it there, so I brought it for you.
It's from my father.
Your father?
I don't... What? Would you?
Are you sure?
Am I sure I want to hear my father's recriminations from beyond the grave? I am sure of nothing. Open. Read.
The date says May 15th.
He died on June 15th.
Maybe one of your brothers didn't find it until now and sent it on.
Oh, God. Read. Read.
My son, they say that certain animals can sense when their end is near. And although I am no wild beast, I must say I do feel that a change is coming, like the season's about to change. I know that I will not leave this bed. Before that happens, however, there are certain arrangements I have made for the family that you need to know about.
Boy, here it comes.
I am bequeathing the business to you and your brothers. Kurt and Adam will each receive 30%. Your mother will own 20%, and 20% goes to you.
He did what? And 20% goes to you. 20% to me? What was he thinking? Your brothers and I imagine that you will wish to be a silent partner, but we all agree that you are welcome to be as much or as little a part of the business as you like. I hope you will be, for your mother's sake, not for mine. I am so sorry that we are not meant to be together to speak of such things. And I know that I'm the reason for it.
Are you all right?
It's a terrible thing for a father to admit that he does not know his son. That was my fault. But I blamed you for it. It was easier that way. I don't know what else to do when I would look at you and see so little of myself. My father never spoke to me like this. Never. I had no idea.
I'll leave you be.
Please, don't. I need... Just... Don't go. But now I see differently, and I realize too late that God did not grant me a son so that he could be just like me. Who am I? I am old and yet still so young in understanding the ways of God. There is work on this earth that only you can do, and I am sorry for every fence, every wall, and every barricade that I ever put up between you and the man you were meant to be. I love you, my son. I always have, and I always will. There's more, but I don't think I can. I'm so stupid.
That's not true.
I made up my mind about him 30 years ago and never once thought. Twice he says he's sorry in one letter, and I never heard him say the word once in my whole life. Maybe he did say it. Maybe he said it 1,000 times and I never heard it. I never listened. Mine papa.
I'm sure he knew you were a good son. He wouldn't have written a letter like this otherwise.
But how would he know? It was certainly nothing I ever did or said to make him think that way. And I said terrible things about him, to him. Will you help me with something? I never set Shiva for my father.
What do I do?
Sit here with me.
Luther starts to sit on his bunk.
No, down here.
He indicates for Luther to join him on the floor.
Some houses have a bench, a low bench, and the family sit there.
Okay. What do we do now?
Often people bring food.
Sorry.
Or they share memories of the dearly departed.
I don't have any.
You're really bad at this, aren't
you? I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. It's my way when I don't know what else to say. One time, I'm in the cellar under the store with my brothers. Papa sent us there to get something or other. We were always getting in trouble for opening the boxes when we weren't supposed to be, and moving stuff around so Papa couldn't find anything. Anyway, this one time, it was raining buckets outside, and I saw that we had water on the floor back in the corner. So the three of us started moving the boxes to get them out of the water. Suddenly, there's Papa at the top of the stairs. "What are you doing down there?" he bellows. "We're moving crates," I hollered. "The back of the cellar has water all over the floor." He says, "Are you sure?" "Am I sure? He's up there, and I'm down there, down here, and he's asking me if I know what I'm talking about." So I answer him. "Pretty sure," I said. "I've seen water before, and this is it."
Oh, no.
My brothers, like rabbits. And me, I'm thinking that I'm dead where I stand. I can't move. I'm just waiting to hear his boots come thundering down the stairs.
What happened?
Nothing. My father turns and walks away. Maybe he realized he had asked a stupid question. Maybe he thought my smart mouth was funny and he didn't want me to know it. All I know is that I spent the next 3 days practicing invisibility. Then, when we did speak to each other next, neither one of us made any mention of it. It never happened.
Luther and Meyer chuckle together as Albert and Carl enter. Seeing Luther and Meyer sitting on the floor.
Wait, don't tell me. Somebody dropped a pen. Johan, there's a football game starting out on the west field. The other team needs one more man to play. Unless you're not allowed to come out and play.
John rises, but the most direct path would mean stepping over Meyer and Luther. He looks at his brother, and Luther looks away.
Come on.
John turns and finds another route to the door, and he exits with Carl and Albert. Luther and Meyer sit together in silence for a moment.
It's easy to ask forgiveness from the dead, but it's more important to get it from the living.
I know.
So, be the bigger man. Apologize.
It's not that simple. What John thinks of me, he's not wrong.
Whatever he thinks of you, or you of him, your brothers.
I don't know him anymore. Albert's got his head twisted into knots. He won't listen to me.
Do you think Albert has told him about the tunnel?
John wouldn't say one way or the other if I asked him. I bet that tunnel's got to be almost done by now. The ground's starting to freeze. It'll be hard as rock by next week, if not sooner.
Then tell McGee. Blow out Bear's plans in his face.
Not while he's still got John wrapped up in his little pot. If only I could find those letters.
If you can't find them here, maybe they're in the tunnel, wherever that is.
Well, those plans are Al Bear's ace in the hole. He won't risk someone else finding them until he's ready for someone else to find them. And he won't have them on himself, because he'd look guilty even if they're not in his handwriting. Now, they're here, right here, somewhere.
What's left to do? Tear down the whole bunkhouse?
Meyer and the rest of the men cross to their bunks and lie down as the lights come up on Susan. Luther remains in the bunkhouse set.
It's just you and your brother, right? No one else in your family that you're close to?
Mama died just before we came over. She made Papa promise he'd follow through on their plans and get our family to America.
And then he died not too long ago. It must have been rough for you.
It would have been rougher. We were taken in by another family. Worked their farm until I was old enough to move us. I was always pretty good at fixing things, so people always told me I could find good work in the city. We were in Tulsa for a bit, then Kansas City. I'd like to go back there.
Still, that's an awful lot for you to take responsibility for.
We're family. You do what you have to.
So you were afraid of what Albert was going to do. How it could hurt John.
Sure.
Luther, we can talk about what you did in terms of self-defense. It gives you justification.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me how it happened. It's Tuesday night, October 13th. How did it happen?
Like you said, it was self-defense.
How did you get the gun?
I found it. By accident, and I shot it.
No, Luther, I need all the details. You have to go through it step by step.
I found Albert's gun. I held it in my hand.
Did you shoot him in his bed?
No, he was standing in front of me.
Albert gets out of bed and stands in front of Luther.
And you shot him?
Yeah.
The sound effect of a gunshot. Albert falls.
He wasn't coming at you, threatening you somehow?
Yeah.
Albert gets to his feet.
He came at me.
Albert walks toward Luther, who aims his finger pistol and fires. Sound effect of a gunshot. Albert falls.
And the fire?
What about the fire?
You set fire to the bunkhouse.
Right.
Was that before or after you shot Albert?
After.
And what about John? Where was he?
And
Carl and Meyer and the other men in the bunkhouse?
Well, they were...
Did they see you shoot Albert? Did they see you set the fire? Did they try to stop you?
No, it was... They...
Stop lying to me.
What?
You're lying to me.
No, I'm not.
Facts and truth, Luther. Sometimes they don't mix.
Look, I don't understand.
Would you believe that I killed a man? It was an accident, but I did it. 6 years ago. I was driving over to the county courthouse in Jamestown. Bright, sunny morning, clear, open road. My right front tire blew out, starting to drag the car off the road. So I swerved hard to avoid the ditch. Suddenly, I'm now going across the road, and I plow into the side of a horse-drawn wagon. Threw the wagon driver 40 yards and broke his neck. And I remember every detail of that day. I remember I was wearing a lavender dress. I remember three Holstein cows in the field off to my right, and a splash of green paint across the side of the wagon just before I smashed into it. So don't stand there and tell me that you're having trouble remembering the night that you shot a man to death. Not you, Luther Ellers. I've known you for 90 minutes, and I already know you better than that.
Yes, ma'am.
How did it happen?
The fire. I started the fire first, in the storage room.
He crosses to his bunk.
Then I snuck back into bed.
Just as he lies down, smoke and a reddish orange appears in the back doorway. Luther watches it closely. After a moment, Meyer stirs in his sleep. He starts to sit up, coughing.
What's going on?
Fire! Fear!
Shouts rise from the men as the flickering firelight and smoke from the back room come more pronounced. Luther works to shepherd everyone out.
Luther?
John, just go. Go.
Carl, Meyer, and John rush out as Luther and Albert face off. Unseen by either, John creeps back in to watch from the doorway.
You better get out.
So should you.
Once I know everyone's safe. What are you waiting for? If there's something you need to get first, go ahead and get it.
I will. This is a little drastic, don't you think? Burning down the whole bunkhouse just to get to a few letters?
You're right. Give them to me and we can both leave.
Are you playing poker with me now?
No. No games. Just give me what I want.
All right, I fold.
He goes to his hiding place and takes out the humidor, bringing it to the table. He opens the top and cigarettes tumble out.
Shucks. There goes my fortune. Up in smoke, huh?
He opens a false lid and retrieves a bundle of letters, tossing them on the corner of the table. Luther picks up the letters, then throws them into the fire in the back room.
Is this all of them?
No. There's a couple more under my bunk.
As Luther crosses...
So you throw the rest of those into the fire and we're all even, yeah?
Where are they?
Up by the head. Tucked between the bunk and the wall.
As Luther bends over the bunk to search for the letters, Albert opens the false bottom and removes the revolver.
Find them yet? It's getting hot in here.
Not yet.
You'll see them soon enough.
Albert starts to aim the revolver at Luther's back. John, watching from the doorway, rushes him.
No!
The revolver goes off as the collision knocks it out of Albert's hand. Luther turns and charges Albert as Albert knocks John to the floor. Luther and Albert fight as the room fills with increasingly thicker smoke. Now alarm bells and men shouting are heard from outside. As the fight progresses, Albert knocks Luther down, then piles on him, raining down vicious head blow after head blow. John retrieves the revolver as Albert reaches for a wood log from the stove. He raises it over his head, over a defenseless Luther.
Stop!
He fires once, hitting Albert, who looks back at him with a stunned expression. John fires twice more rapidly, and Albert falls to the floor, dead. John hurries to his brother's side.
Luther? Oh my God, Luther!
What?
Come on, get up!
Luther! John!
He enters, trying to see through the thickening smoke.
What's going on?
Help!
John?
We're over here!
Meyer makes his way to where John is kneeling by Luther's side.
Help us up. We gotta get out of here.
What the hell happened?
It was Albert. I had no choice. He was gonna...
Where is the son of a bitch?
Over there. I shot him.
Meyer crosses to Albert's body, sees that he's dead, then comes back to help Luther get to his feet.
Come on. Come on.
As he rises with John and Meyer's help, Luther grabs for the gun in John's hand, taking it away.
What are you doing? What? What?
I shot it.
No!
I shot it.
God damn it, Luther, you can't do this!
Meyer heads for the door and looks out.
Don't fight me.
Tell me,
please.
Tell me why.
It's the only way I know how.
Know how to do what?
Guards are coming.
It's not right, Luther.
Make it be right. Make it be all right. I trust you.
Meyer takes Luther's arm to lead him out the door. But first, John throws his arms around his brother, and they embrace. After a moment, John and Meyer exit. Lights come down into two tight pools of light around Luther in the bunkhouse, and Susan at the table.
And that's what happened.
I believe you.
That's the truth.
I believe you.
Do you have to tell?
Not if you don't want me to.
Good. And you can't. I don't want you to.
Luther, think carefully before you answer. Do you regret your actions that night?
No.
A man died. You don't regret that?
I ain't the kind of guy that gets happy about another man dying. But the circumstances being what they were, what else was John and me supposed to do?
Does that mean you think you were right?
I know that setting the fire was wrong, and I didn't mean for Albert to have to get shot. Hell, if you told me a story about another man doing those things, I'd be the first to say, that man done wrong. But that was before I lived in the bunkhouse. It was like coming to a new country all over again. We all talked a lot about the government all the time, the Justice Department, the Immigration Department, FBI, Congressman this and Senator that, but all that talk didn't mean the government was actually there. You know who was in there with me? My family. John and me. We're all we got left. Since I've been in jail, I've had a lawyer come talk to me every week. Nobody came to see me in the camp. I've been told I have the right to a speedy trial. It took 6 months in the camp just to meet with a review board that could only recommend what was going to happen to me and my brother. I don't think the government really thought I was a threat to the war effort. I think, after a spell, the government didn't think about me at all. I guess if you got 100 million folks to look after, then it's okay to forget about 1,000 or so. But what was I supposed to do? I ain't got a million people to worry about. Just me and John. And I ain't never gonna forget about him or do without him, no matter where we are. But I'm his family. And he's mine. I wish a man wasn't dead because of me. I wish I hadn't got pulled off the street and put in a camp. I wish I was still in Kansas City. But to answer your question from before, do I think I did right? Hell yeah, I did right. I did right.
But you do realize that if you don't let me tell people what really happened, you could be in prison for the rest of your life. You could still be deported.
But not John.
That's not for certain.
At least he has a chance. He made mistakes, but I'm not the one who put him in place to make those mistakes. And I had to do whatever it took to wipe his hands clean. He's my brother.
I'll do all that I can to help you. And John. I can't make any guarantees, but I know some of the right people. Good people.
Thank you.
It would be my honor, sir.
Lights come slowly down. End of play.
Thank you again to Scott Dixon for letting us air the reading of his play, Enemy Alien. More information about Scott can be found at srdixon.net or darklydixon.blogspot.com.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.